I'm Peter Medlin, and you are listening to Teacher's Lounge from WNIJ. And if this is your first time hearing our show, I've got great news. It's based on a really simple idea that we've all had a teacher in our lives who helped us become who we are today. And every educator we feature on this podcast, whether teacher, coach, or professor, is nominated by the folks who listen. We want you to be a part of our show with us, so please tell us about the educators who've inspired you and the folks in your community who deserve a spotlight. You can email us with your nominations and tell us all about them at teachersloungenIU.edu. And today on the show, we have a very special episode, one of my favorites of the year. We are taking a journey. It is a school year in the life of a teacher. Over on our Teacher's Lounge radio show, we have a segment called Classroom Correspondent, where every month we talk with the same teacher and follow the ups and the downs of the school year, the holidays, the tests, everything. It's a peek behind the curtain of how learning actually happens, to understand how much hard work actually goes into every day, every class, every lesson by educators who care. And this year, our Classroom Correspondent was Dominique Yackley. She's a fifth grade teacher at Founders Elementary School in DeKalb, Illinois. And at the end of the school year, our segment that we record every month gets collected right here on the podcast. So today we're going to experience the entire 2024-25 school year from August to May. And of course, we start off back in August at the very beginning of the school year as we arrive in Mrs. Yackley's fifth grade class. And she tells us what she does to start building relationships with her new students.
Children these days, they know when you're being fake. So you have to find something deeper than the surface. Like, oh, you have a puppy too. You have to go deeper than that. Over the summer, I always do some research on what can go deeper. For example, this year, I introduced trade school activities, which the students are super excited about. So there's some mannequin heads over there that they actually use some clippers today to cut the hair. And there's another one where they've been practicing braiding. I have a pool table, a desktop pool table where they're learning how to shoot pool. Like, it's just a lot of skills that we don't really think about where these kids, like some of them know about this. Like their parents might, you know, play billiards, or somebody might be a cosmetologist. So like all of these are fun for them. Snap circuits. There's a young man who had that and he focused on it for probably about 30 minutes. He was really into it. So that gets That's exciting fun. For them. And then it excites me because I know I'm in the right space. Like I've created the right space for them.
And that's a new one for this year?
Yeah, the trade school activities are new this year. I didn't have those last year. That's cool. And they're passing the word. So I have students from other classrooms. You have mannequin heads in your room? I wanna come and visit your room. So I know that it's a hit. So that's good.
People are already jealous of Miss Yackey's class.
They are a little bit. But I plan on having some some people from those skills come in. So I'm going to have a cosmetologist come in at some point, a dentist, things like that, just to kind of go over some things with them. So it's just not something in the room to have as something fun, but also that you're learning something.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about, you're a fifth grade teacher, mm-hmm. and I am not a teacher. However, I always mention that when I was a senior in high school, I did get to help teach fourth and fifth grade PE class.
Ooh,
at my school.
How was that? PE is a different type of master.
PE is hit or miss. It can be difficult, but it can be very, very fun, of course. But I found fourth and fifth grade to be a really, really fun age to work with, right? Because they're just old. They're old enough to where they're working independently on their own. They're tying mm-hmm. their shoes up there. They know what's up. They're also young enough where, they're still really excited to come to school a lot of times.
And,
they haven't got quite to that middle school cynicism and sarcasm mm-hmm. quite yet a lot of times. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoy it. To you, you've been a fifth grade teacher for this is year eight then?
Yes.
For fifth grade?
Eighth year, yeah.
What to you is the like some of the special sauce of fifth grade? What makes fifth grade so special to you?
First of all, they love a lot of love. So they're still the age where they want hugs. But they're also at the age, like you said, that they're very independent. And I do like that they do get my sense of humor and I get theirs. And there is some sarcasm that you can introduce. So I think that, they start to become themselves. And honestly, children these days, including fifth grade especially, they're very open. And I appreciate that about really this generation in general. They're very open. They're not already set in their ways where no one can show you something new and you'd be open-minded. So they're very open-minded and very loving and have a really good sense of humor.
I want to finish this off with a couple just, we can go quick rapid fire questions.
Okay.
And, you know, both my mom and my stepmom both taught elementary school. And one of the things that comes with that is that you get some really, really hilarious stories of things that the kids say to you. And I always looked forward to it at the end of the day hearing if my mom had something new. So I want that you can share with us one of the funniest things that you can think of that a student has said to you in the last year or couple of years.
I think the funniest thing really in general about fifth grade that has already even happened this year is they love to fart. I don't know what it is.
That's peak fart age.
Oh. Yeah, it's the fart age. And I really dislike farts. And so I don't know if you can see behind me, I have a collection of Bath and Body sprays here on the desk. So
that's to clear the room?
Yes, that is to clear the room. And so I just find it funny that every day, probably about 5 times a day, they're like, Mrs. Yackley, can I get the spray? Someone farted over here. And so I just love, again, their openness and that they can say that. And I'll just tell them, you know, if you do have to fart, please just step by the door. But I think they just also love to spray the sprays and test out all the different scents. But that's funny to me.
Well, the fart thing, too, it's like things change quickly, right? Like technology changes so quickly. We're
yes.
worried about, oh, are the kids today different than the kids 15, 20 years? Like, I guarantee that one of the constants is that fifth graders love farts. I'm sure that's been the case for decades. It will be the case for decades.
It will be, unfortunately for me, but I'm okay with it.
Now we move to September. We're about a month into the school year, and Dominique's starting to get a good feel for her class.
They are really learning some social skills, for one. So the chattiness, we just have to ring it in and develop how to have those conversations, especially academic conversations. But it is going well. I've engaged them with, I don't know if you heard of Ghost Boys. It's a really engaging book, especially for this particular population and for this generation and current event. So they're having like really good conversations about that. And we end up talking about culture and family, deep conversations.
Is that something that now that we're a month in you can do and maybe takes a couple weeks to get going where they feel comfortable enough to start interacting, having those conversations with each other?
Absolutely. It takes some time for some trust. They have to get to know my sense of humor, and they have to get to know, like, is she gonna tell our parents that we said this today about them? And then they know that I share my experience when I was a kid, and they're like, oh, okay, what, Mrs. Yackley, you did that as a kid? Okay, now we know we're safe and we can tell her about what they did more recently.
Yeah, I mean, like you mentioned, a lot of these kids were in maybe kindergarten when the pandemic started. Right at those really crucial developmental social ages when they're learning how to just do school fundamentally, how to interact with their peers. So over the past couple of years, it sounds like that's something that you've maybe had to be a little bit more intentional about, is trying to hone those skills for those kids.
Correct. And sometimes I have to check myself, you know, like this year, I'm like, what is going on? Like they cannot stop talking at any point, and I have to kind of reflect on, oh, okay, this class would have been the class in kindergarten or first grade during that COVID experience or tragedy, technically.
What are the challenges at this point of the school year, the boxes that you're trying to check along the way to be like, okay, I want to make sure that we're here and we can keep going. I got to keep my eye on this about a month into the school year.
I think the biggest obstacle is that independent practice. Actually, you know what the biggest obstacle is? I lied. Note-taking. They don't know how to note-take. And I think I was so used to it as a child. That's all we did was note-take. You put your date at the top right corner and your name, all these things, and you organize your notes. And that is a thing of the past.
Is that a COVID thing or is that just a generational thing?
No, that's a generational thing. The executive skills is just out the door. As a matter of fact, when I'll say, okay, get your notebooks out, which notebook? Well, it's reading, so reading notebook. And they will just write like 3 lines, really large, not even within the lines, and then they turn the page. Or they might just open their notebook to the middle and just start taking notes. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. No, 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 no. So we need a whole course or lesson, a few of them, on just note-taking. So that is like an obstacle because I'm the type of teacher when I've taught a lesson and then you have questions days later, the first thing I'm going to do is tell you to access your notes. What does your note say? And I'm like, oh, and they're flipping through pages upon pages upon pages in their notes, even though it was literally the, like the day before for these notes. And so that is actually my biggest obstacle, is having them with those executive skills.
Now that we're a month in, I'm sure you've had some really, exciting moments so far, even where, maybe kids are coming in a little unsure, maybe they're a little bit hesitant on certain subjects, maybe not as confident on more confident about one subject than another. Have you started to have some of those breakthrough moments, some of those aha moments?
Absolutely. So we're going over multi-digit multiplication, or we were rather, in math, and there was a lot of struggles, I must say, with that. And I moved some students up where they're doing division. I have a lot of success, though, in homework, because I have this, I don't know if you can see it, this...
Paint us a word picture for the listeners here. We got a...
So this gumball machine that you can see, but they can't see, has QR codes in the...
So a gumball machine, and it's got little prizes inside it. Inside the little bottles, we've got QR codes?
Yes. And so when they do their homework, which I give homework on Monday and it's due on Fridays, I give them a quarter, they come up and they get one of the things in here. I scan the code, and that's when they either have chips or a pack of gum, hairbrushes, pencil toppers. Last year, so the students really love to have me provide for them some of the snacks that I'm eating.
I was going
to
say, are those the ones that they are most excited about? Is it the food-related prizes? I would have to guess, yeah.
But they love the pencil toppers. Oh, I have the croc charms. That's a favorite
one. I mean, hairbrush seems like some top-of-the-line stuff, though. Like, that seems beyond just a snack.
Dollar General. I had spicy seaweed last year, though, and my students wanted to try it. I was like, okay. I didn't think most of them would actually like it, but 90% of the class loved it, and they asked me to make that one of the prizes for their homework. So I have. And so that's a popular one, actually. So that incentive for them to do their homework, I noticed that a good 80% of the students are doing their homework. So they're really putting forth effort. And with that practice, then they are really knowing their math better. You could tell that they're just really excited.
Yeah. What's on the horizon for us now? You mentioned with math that we're moving from multiplication. Some people are getting into a bit of division. That was when things got really tough for me. I was like, multiplication, I love it. I can do multiplication all day long. As soon as we started to get into division, Peter started to tense up a little bit.
Now you have to go to the bathroom or get a tissue or something?
Yeah.
Division and fractions are probably the hardest units in math for students each year. Division usually takes almost going into like 2 months sometimes. So I'm hoping this will be different since they do know their multiplication facts and it's just the reverse of. So I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, there's already about 5 students who are already on division. Like I have them on division and they're doing fine. And they even said that they're ready for the test in division so they can move on past that. It's like, perfect. I don't want to keep you on something you already know, right? So division, though, will be the next thing on the horizon for math. And then division of decimals.
Oh, gosh. It never ends. It never ends.
Is it giving you a thing?
Then it's long division. When does it end?
Yes.
It is October 2024, and election season is in the air. Even for Dominique's elementary school students who are nowhere near old enough to vote.
We are getting ready for our mock presidential election on November 4th. So they have done all the research. I provide no opinions or biases. So they've looked up candidates, local candidates running for mayor, all of those things. So they know how the government is run and political positions. And now they know a little bit better about the presidential candidates.
Wow.
So they are excited. They will get an I voted sticker and all those things that make them feel like they're all adult-like. So they're really excited about that.
Even in your fifth grade classroom, the election anticipation, you could still feel it.
Yes. Yes. And they look up videos so that they can hear candidates, exactly what they've said from their mouth. And so they get all excited. Mrs. Yackley, I see it. Da, da, da. I'm like, They watched the presidential debate. They were really excited to talk about that. Some of them watched it on their own. So that was really exciting. They're excited.
I love it.
It's a good experience for them.
I love that they get the I voted sticker. Did you see? I think it was in Michigan, where they had, like, I think kids maybe around fifth grade, like that age range, they had them design some new I voted stickers.
Oh,
And so, you know, some of them were just, you know, I voted in like a fun or cool font. But then one of them was like a werewolf ripping off its shirt that said, I voted on it. And you're like, I wasn't expecting that we were going to go in that direction, but I'm so glad you did. It looked great. So like,
hey, Halloween edition.
That could be an activity. Design, having them design their own I voted sticker, you know, just tossing it out there. Have that one.
I like that idea.
You got to check out that picture, though. You got to Google that after we're done here, because it's very, very fun.
I'm going to look at it. I love the power in that. Like, the ripping off, it shows so much power. Like, I'm just shedding this to become this. I like that. I did have my Social Justice Club members. They made posters. Like, vote. Vote is powerful. Use your words. Vote. Voting matters. All of those type of posters that we'll decorate the library with the night before they vote. So they were excited to do those as well. But I'm loving the sticker idea. I have my thought process been in here.
Any other moments from the last month or so of class that either those discussions that we were just talking about or, you know, any other moments in class that you feel like really have stuck out to you about the past month or so? Again, whether it was just a moment where the conversation was flowing really well and the kids were really feeling it, a moment that was very funny that stood out to you, a moment that was just a really good encapsulation of Mrs. Yackley's fifth grade class.
Well, I have two. I have a good, you know, serious moment of discussion. I love discussion class. And then I have a more funny one to say. So the more serious one, I did show them the doll experiment from the 1950s. They had the black and white doll and they asked students things about the dolls. And there was a lot of stereotypes and prejudices against even, you know, people of color to themselves. Right. And I said, I don't know. Why do you feel like this is? And one of my students said, oh, well, we feel like a lot of educators don't know where we're coming from. They don't know our fears, our angers, and how we feel about ourselves. I said, wow, that's really deep. I said, I agree. How many of you agree with that? And the class, the whole class basically raised their hand. So I had them write down their fears and their anger, like what they're angry about. So that was really touching for me because I learned a lot about some of my students that I didn't know prior. And I think that I know my students pretty well. So, but I learned a lot. So that was good discussion. Well, they felt safe.
When we're dealing with fifth grade students, when we're trying to like build up those trust to have those serious conversations, like that seems like a really difficult thing to do. How, I'm sure that's something that over, you know, the years that you've been a classroom teacher, that is something that develops and you get better and better at.
Right. Yes, I think telling them about myself too, yeah. I have to be honest about like my history, right, about my just daily life, has them be more open,
right,
but just feeling safe. And just being genuine. Like, they know I really want to know. It's not like, hey, do you have a dog? I have a dog, too. Like, nobody.
Well, it goes along with, like, you know, the stereotype that, like, oh, like, my teacher, she lives in the classroom and sleeps under the desk, like, that type of thing.
Yes.
Right? Like, I feel like at the elementary level, kids more think of their teachers as, like, these unassailable Mount Olympus gods or, like, you know, creatures that only exist in the classroom. And we don't start until later on figuring out that our teachers are like, you know, normal people that have normal lives and families.
You have to go to the grocery stores and shop and eat and sleep. Yes.
But it's good to get that, you know, as young as possible, that they know that, you know, you're just a normal person, cares a lot about them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's important. Actually, it's necessary.
Yeah.
So, yes. And then I do a more funny version. I don't know. Like I said, they seem to be obsessed with farts and, you know, the number two and stuff. So we do like a classroom story. So I'll write the first sentence and then another student has to add a sentence to it. So each student has to participate in adding a sentence to the story. And I swear that the story always has to involve a big brown monster.
Right. That's like, that's got to be like by sentence four.
Yes. They try to by sentence two. And I'm like, okay, you guys, it has to be sequential. How do we arrive here already? So all of their stories has to involve that, apparently, and it has to involve, like, scariness or some way. So they made a good story. I'll have to read it next time. But hilarious. It does involve a big brown monster in the toilet.
Yeah, next time we got to do a dramatic reading of the final product.
We do.
I feel like...
Because it needs to be continued. We need a few more sentences.
Yeah, the story is still ongoing. Moving into November, the holidays are well on their way, and you know this time of the school year. Right before Thanksgiving, a few weeks before winter break, students and teachers are excited for a much-needed rest.
It's holiday week this week. Are kids in class at all this week, or are they off pretty much?
So they're probably snoring right now, enjoying their dreams.
Can you imagine?
That's a new thing. I feel like when we were in school, they didn't do the whole week off.
No, that's definitely very new. And even now, it's maybe a couple years more recent.
I was going to say, like, now that they're not in class at all this week, but last week, I could already feel myself getting that kind of holiday itch where it's a little bit more difficult for me to pay attention and stay focused on whatever I'm trying to do. Mm-hmm. Is that... I know that especially happens in that sweet spot in between Thanksgiving and the winter break. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you already feel in your classroom? Are they getting to that itch?
I do, but they're still well-behaved, which I appreciate, because usually they get so hyper where they just don't want to pay attention, but they're still very excited to learn and be challenged, so that's good. The Friday before break, I always give them kind of an easier day. The morning, we always make sure we're still doing work and learning, and then afternoon, we'll play, like, games. So we played charades, we played Pictionary, we played a Jeopardy version with math content on it. So it was fun.
Anything else exciting going on in Mrs. Yackley's class going right now?
We're going to read Wayside Stories, which is very, you know, has a lot of comedy in it. So they'll have fun with that. We did our voting, which was exciting for them. Math, we're doing PEMDA, so Order of Operations.
Please excuse my dear Aunt Sally. Are we still using that one?
We are still using that. One of my students was like, my dad's been waiting on me to learn this. I was like, really? He's like, yeah, that was my dad's favorite unit. So the dad, I guess, was really excited. So we get to, you're like, go ahead.
Love it for that guy. Good for him. Big PEMDAS guy.
Yes. And then I do a Jenga PEMDA. So they're playing Jenga while when they, you know, get the block, they have to do the equation on there successfully if they want a point. So just fun ways to engage them with it. And then they know their map will be coming up soon. I had them do digital vision boards. So they put their goals on there. So they're really excited to see if they can reach their goal, which I have confidence that each of them will. And if they do, then they change it to something else.
For people that don't know, MAP is an assessment that you guys do multiple times throughout the course of the year, right?
Yes, correct. So we did it in the fall, in the beginning of the school year. They'll do it in a few weeks right before winter break. And then we do it in the spring, in May. And those scores in May will be used for them when they go to middle school.
I'm fascinated by assessments and the way that we do things. This one makes a little bit more sense to me, where it's something that you do multiple times throughout the year, and also you get the results back almost immediately, so
yes,
you can use that to inform your instruction, how they're receiving support, all those different things, as opposed to, like, you know, some of the tests that you take like once a year and then you maybe don't even see the results by the time
IAR.
That you leave, right? And so I'm always curious too about, like, again, some of those tests can be, like, stressful for some kids, don't like taking them, and how we, you know, try to impart how important it is that they do well on it while also not making it feel like this crushing big thing that they're scared of.
Very true. I always tell them that they own their data, right? So I'm not scared to express what that data represents. I think sometimes we have students take tests and then it's just over with. I like to express, if you get this score, you are operating on a possible kindergarten level, even though you're fifth grade. Or if you get this score, you're right where you need to be. So explaining what that represents, my students always have an aha moment. And you could tell, I don't know, it hits different when they know exactly where they are and where they could be or should be, per se. Also, of course, I do provide rewards for progress.
Are we talking food again?
We are talking food.
That's right.
The highest reward, though, is a gift card. It's a $5 gift card if you get 20 plus points that you've improved. And believe it or not, many of my students each year improve that many points, which is a lot, because the MAP test itself only expects for you to be about 10 points improvement by the end of the year.
And so, again, it's fascinating to me because obviously, like, you know, there is no one number that is, you know, defines who a student is. But I'm always curious for people, like, you know, for you in the classroom, if you feel like the results and the data that you get from those assessments, if that is something that you feel like is a big help to you throughout the course of the year.
Absolutely. The MAP test is IAR again. Right. No, we don't see it until they've gone on to the next grade, but MAP is very helpful in seeing where they're not getting it to. You know, they might be extremely strong in measurement and data, but just still don't understand fractions. So, you know, you can look at that report. So I appreciate the reports too. There's several different reports you can view.
I have one more thing I wanted to ask you about. And since it is the holiday week, and since, you know, many people are celebrating Thanksgiving on Thursday, mm-hmm. I wanted to pose to you, is there a lesson that you've learned about either teaching or education in general that was maybe a hard lesson that you were thankful that you learned? Just being thankful.
I'm thankful for all the lessons that, because I learned something probably every day from my students. You know, they might feel like it more relates to their generation, but it helps me as well to be a better educator, because then I can integrate it into my teaching to where students are more engaged. But since we are coming up on Thanksgiving, I will say I've always taught my students to say Native American rather than Indian. And I remember last year, actually, a student who was 100% Indigenous said, actually, many of us prefer Indigenous rather than even Native American. And I was like, thank you for that.
It is December and we are already almost halfway through the school year, and I got to catch up with Dominique this month right before her and her students took off for winter break.
Looking back on now like the first half of the school year, mm-hmm. what are some of the things that kind of just stand out about this school year to you?
Oh, wow. The students' energy. The students' energy stands out a lot. I love their energy.
That can be positive and negative depending on what we're doing.
It can, but I appreciate it. And right about now, I am extremely exhausted. So I am living off of their energy. So I actually appreciate it. In the beginning of the year, it was a little, you know, agitating perhaps, but I had to grow into it because I couldn't get them to kind of stop talking when they weren't supposed to. But I'm loving their energy right about now. And they know when I've had enough of it and when they can give me more of it, perhaps. But they're really great kids. This is a good group. They're doing a lot of learning, a lot of growth, as I can see, per their map and stuff. They're proud of themselves. They're really happy.
But that doesn't happen every year? This feels like a kind of unique that this group is just especially has
like
some really good energy.
Unique. Usually we're all kind of ready for break.
Yeah. For sure. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you've got a good break coming up. Are you going to have the chance to do some resting, do some relaxing?
I am. Okay. At first I was going to travel, and then I think I'm going to just kind of sit still for a minute here.
Is there a lot of school stuff that you have to take home? Are you going to be doing some grading, doing some prep work at home, or do you try to keep that here?
I try to keep that here. I will be doing absolutely zero grading. However, a teacher's mind, or you know what, rather not even a teacher, an educator's brain is like never paused. I can watch a TV show and come up with a new idea that I want to try in class. So I'm sure there'll be some ideas and I'll jot it down. Like I have to try this when school resumes. But other than that, I will not be doing any grading.
No. That's fun. Every once in a while, you're watching a TV show and you're like, write that down.
Oh, absolutely. I can wake up from dreams and I've dreamed something that I want to try. It's crazy.
Really?
Yes.
Have you had that recently? You've dreamt up a lesson?
Actually, I have. It's crazy because, well, first of all, this year is the first year all of my students celebrate a holiday, which happens to be Christmas right now. And so they suggested that I have an elf on a shelf in the room. And so I've actually dreamed a few things that I would like that fun shelf to do in the classroom. So I've woken up and,
I have to ask about the elf on the shelf dream. Now, what is that told you about what to do with elf on the shelf?
I really wanted a pretty tree that's about the height of the elf to decorate with a ladder. And so that was one of them. Which was a really weird dream. I'm not sure why I had that. But right now, she is on a swing with balloons floating into the air. So I've gotten pretty creative.
Do you feel like, do things change a good amount into the second semester, into the second half of the year? Or do we kind of ride in and it looks pretty similar to what things looked like the first half?
I feel like it's like a fast forward. I feel like everything goes by fast. The second half, it's nothing but testing, which is very unfortunate. I feel like we have this small time slot to learn some things. Then we have IAR. We We have our science test in fifth grade. Then we have our last map test again. So I feel kind of bad for the kiddos because they're like just tested. But I do feel like the second half goes much quicker, which could be a good thing and bad thing. But
so second half of the year, it goes by fast. We got a lot of testing, which can be difficult. Are there any things that you're just especially looking forward to?
Well, as you know, I love math, so I'm always excited. We're getting into fractions for that. I'm excited to teach a little bit more science and do some fun science activities, like the owl pellets. Did you do owl pellets?
I did do owl pellets. Yeah.
That's, now, I always get like about 5 students who are like, ew, gross, Mrs. Yackley, please give us gloves. I'm like, okay, but 90% of the time they come out of the gloves, and so I'm sure that will happen. So that's exciting.
It's definitely a day to remember. Whether or not you're like super into it or if you're a little grossed out by it, it's definitely something that you remember.
Yes. I wish we dissected more things so they can learn, but that's, I guess, middle school, high school. But we do the owl pellets.
Anything else you think that has been notable, fun, unique, interesting, anything about the first half of the school year for you?
I'd say notable. I'm just extremely proud of my students, academically and behaviorally. The average score in MAP when you progress is, you know, about a 5 by winter. And I've had quite a few students today improve their points, 17 points, 15 points, 12 points. And then behaviorally, they just advocate for themselves and for others. And I just love hearing that when they have grown to where they advocate, even for others that they don't normally get along with, let's just say, but just them advocating for them is awesome and acting like a family. So I'm just really proud of them. They've come a long way. This is probably the class I'd say has matured the most.
Really? And it's hard to even say, like you know, I wonder why that is. You know, it's just the right group, the right mix, the right time.
And right expectations, all of it.
We have made it to January. It's 2025, and it's also a brand new semester for Mrs. Yackley students, one that started with a snow day, or rather an it's negative 27 and nobody's leaving their house day. But because it's 2025, snow days do have a virtual learning component.
We had to get on from 9 to 10 just to take attendance and see if anybody needed help with the work that we had to leave virtually.
Okay. But did anyone take you up on that, or is everyone pretty happy to have the day off?
No, there's definitely some students who would prefer to stay online all day, and it's like, I can't.
Really?
Not even with the access that I had, yes.
That's also seems like a vote of confidence in you, though, right?
Yeah, true, yes. And I love that they want to spend time. They even wanted to do show and tell, and I was like, okay.
What were they showing?
They want to show and tell some things. Most of it had to do with game controllers, their monitors, their gaming monitors. Some of them have some gaming chairs. So most of it had to do with gaming.
But there were some people that wanted to actually, like, you know, needed some help with some things or wanted to make sure they were caught up on the right things.
Yes, fractions. Because we just started last week. So there's about 5 students who needed a little bit of assistance, which was fine. That's the extra kind of like small group help. So That was good, actually.
Is fractions, is that an exciting lesson to get to? Is that an exciting
unit? For me, it is. Yeah.
For you, it is?
I feel like if you ask the kiddos, probably about 60% of class would probably say no. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of steps, right?
So you have
the addition and subtraction, which is different from the multiplication and division, and lowest common denominators. All these things that they have to like combine. It's not like multiplication where you just have that one step or 2 steps you have to remember. So I think that's the harder topic. Division and fractions usually take the longest.
It seems like you really get extra excited about the math stuff.
I do.
Has that always been one of your favorite, you know, things to get into?
No. As a teacher, yes. And it's funny because I told my students the other day, I said, I'm not going to lie. When I was a child, math was my least favorite subject.
Right.
Like, I rocked in reading, language arts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. Me too, right? Journalism, right?
Yes. And math, I was always a C. It was always difficult. I had to, like, you had to tell me a story.
Yeah.
Like, everything had to be changed into, like, a word problem for me to get the concept, because I'm just such an artistic and creative type person.
Well, and you know how, like, it's, like, the common, like stereotype and trope that everyone says when they're learning math in school is like, when am I ever going to use this in real life? I really did need that to be like, please tell me how this is going to be applicable. Yeah.
Yes. So I told him, I think that's why I'm pretty dope at teaching math, I must say, is because I understand why it would be difficult. And so I teach it in so many different ways, whereas some people who are really passionate about math and they know it strong one way, they teach it one way, and that's just not going to do well with students who are struggling with it.
I mean, you have, like, as a fifth grade teacher, you are like the last year, right, of you teach pretty much everything.
Yes.
Whereas once they get to middle school, they'll have different teachers for math, for social studies, for English.
Yes.
It's a really unique skill set to be able to do the, you know, jack of all trades stuff.
Mm-hmm. It is, especially fifth grade, because a lot of elementary teachers are scared to teach that. Sometimes I try to convince my friends, hey, come to fifth grade if we have an opening. They're like, I'm not teaching fifth grade math. So that's the topic right there, is the math scares everyone. Now, don't get me wrong. I tell my students, if I had to teach like ninth grade math, you might all fail. So I'd have to reteach myself before teaching them.
But I hear that.
Up to about eighth grade, I'd be okay.
You know? So now that we're, you know, late January, we are into the second semester and we're like, you know, halfway point-ish. I'm just curious for you, like, what do you think of when you think of this part of the school year?
I think this is the part of school year where there's like no break, no breathing. It's all just kind of, you better breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. You don't get the moment. From here, it's literally trying to fit everything in that you can, that you didn't get to the first semester. It's a lot of testing, which I feel, again, bad for the kiddos. Especially for fifth grade, there's the science test, there's the MAP test, there's the IAR test in this whole part of the semester.
So. And all of that's going to happen between like now and April, right?
Yes.
What else we got going on in Mrs. Yackley's class?
We have Black History Month coming up, so we are working on our projects for that. And then they're making book trailers, so they're really, really excited about that too.
Oh,
so
they are. Can you tell people about what book, for people that aren't familiar, can you tell them about what the book trailers are?
Yeah, so a book trailer is almost similar to like a movie trailer, right? You're picking out these important and engaging pieces from a book and then making it to a very short clip. They're using Canva. So they're making short videos. They're excited because they're learning how to take pictures with their Chromebooks and add little videos. Some of them are holding the book and saying, hey, check out page 12 is really important, or this or that. But they're picking their favorite books and making book trailers with those. Well, maybe we'll have to have some students talk about this next time. But they're really excited. Like, that's that one thing that I don't even have to ask them to work on. If they finish something else, they just open a Chromebook and they start working on it instead of saying, Mrs. Yackley, what should I do now? So.
Oh, yeah. Well, the kids, you know, they're all about the short form vertical video. So I'm sure they're going to start.
Yes.
And now we're into February, and for Dominique and her class, it is one of the busiest times of the entire school year.
2 weeks have been completely hectic and busy.
This is Black History Month, and for the second year, Dominique is putting on a big assembly. Last year, 60 students participated, and this year, over 100. So, as you can imagine, coordinating practices with that many people can be a lot, especially when those people are elementary schoolers. Let's have Dominique give us a rundown of everything they'll be doing for the assembly.
A playground scene, because important to our culture is double dutch and hand games. We have some famous Black sitcoms, or predominantly Black TV sitcoms. So we have students dressing up as those characters. So like the Jeffersons and the Cosby Show, Proud Family. So they're coming up and saying a snippet. The Soul Train line with dances through the decades from Black artists and songs from Black artists.
Parents get to attend, students will be in costumes, the whole nine yards. And Mrs. Yackley will not only be behind the scenes, but she'll get to be in a few scenes too.
And I'm part of the Soul Train line. I'm the 80s. So we'll be doing the Reebok and the Cabbage Patch and the Snake.
The dancing, she's feeling very confident about. In fact, I'm happy to report that as you're hearing this, they just held the assembly a few days ago and Dominique sent me the video.
Here are 6 decades of dance and music by Black artists. Love, peace, and soul.
But that's not all that's going on in Mrs. Yackley's fifth grade class. Of course, fifth grade is kind of a bridge year as kids prepare for middle school. As we're inching closer to the spring, her kids are already preparing for all the changes that will come with middle school.
They were very sad to hear that they have to change in the locker room for PE. That's usually when they show all the anxiety. They're like, why do we have to change? Like, why? I'm like, well, you can either change or you can just go ahead and wear the shirt and pants that you're going to have to wear for PE.
Now, I was in middle school in the 2000s, which was the apex of the Axe body spray era. You'd open a locker room door and a plume of spray deodorant would float out. Dominique says she does have a few students super into cologne, which is nice, but she's really trying to hammer home the fundamentals of starting with deodorant first. And her students do mature quite a bit throughout the course of the school year. Socially.
In the beginning, it's like, what did you say? And now it's like, oh, you're right. A lot more of owning of behaviors.
And academically, too. She's seen a lot of her students grow this year, particularly in math.
A lot of times I see students, I can see that they're afraid of math, just the topic in itself. So now they get excited. I gave out homework today. They finished. I let them start it. And probably about 80% of the class finished it. They're like, Mrs. Yackley, that was easy. Give us something harder. I was like, what? Okay, come through with the fractions then. But they're like excited to do it. And they're kind of asking me, okay, bring me something harder. So it makes me smile.
Dominique is also a teacher who celebrates diversity and embraces her students' culture, as you could tell with things like the Black History Month festivities. She leads a social justice club, too. So I was curious how she was feeling over the past month or so as the new Trump administration has targeted diversity, equity, and inclusion programs.
I keep up on all of it. It's very scary and very sad. The good news, at least, is that even my class is very much aware. I'm so excited that I did the voting unit and mock presidential election, because now they are so much more aware of how important it is to vote in such a way that would advocate for your beliefs. But no, it is scary. For me personally, though, I won't be changing the way I teach, because it's validating their existence, literally, each one of my students. So I wouldn't even feel right if I couldn't do it the right way. You know, if you can't do it the right way, just don't do it at all.
We took a little bit of a spring break in March, but Dominique returned for a conversation in April, just about a month of the school year remaining. So she's really busy trying to squeeze in every last ounce of learning she can before her fifth grade students leave for summer break.
It's a lot for me. I have to move classrooms, and so I have to have my entire classroom packed up by the 23rd. So that's a lot. And then squishing everything in that you couldn't reach in the curriculum for the students is a lot. So they're probably feeling stressed. I'm feeling stressed, so it's all of that. So yes, how have you been?
I am good. It is, I don't know, again, how this kind of translates with you guys in the school environment. But for me in like the news environment, it feels like there are things that are changing so quickly that you never know what, like, I'm going to have to abandon what I was planning to do today because things dramatically change and now I'm going to have to focus on that. I don't know how much that trickles down to you guys at the classroom level, though.
It does, but I think there's so many unanswered questions for us that we just tend not to almost stress ourselves about it because up above is saying that they don't know and they'll let us know when they know, type of thing. I know one change in the district, which is not related to all the political aspects that's happening, though, is the change in zoning, right? Because of the new school. So we're losing about 140 of our student population and gaining about 110 from other schools. So that's a little sad that there's a lot of students that we've worked really hard with, that they feel safe being at Founders. They know the staff and we know them, and now they have to transition to another school. So that's a little sad and something we're preparing for.
I hope that there aren't too many like really sad kids who have to move schools next year.
There are. And there's some sad parents. There's some parents who are like, oh, Mrs. Yackley, I was planning on my child's sibling having you. And now they won't because they have to go to a different school. So, yeah, you get to know families. It's a whole thing, right? Not just the students. It's the families that you get to know and hopefully new opportunities. But it is just a little sad that we've worked with some of these families for since they've been in kindergarten and maybe they're even in fourth grade and they were looking forward to their last elementary years in fifth grade and they won't be attending Founders. So but at least they'll still be in the district. But yeah, still sad.
That is tough. It's probably going to be even more hugs than usual at the end of the year.
Lots of hugs and tears. Yes.
Oh, man. Well, it's, and again, it is a balance, right? Because like that's tough for a lot of families that were looking forward to that, and people who've been in the district or in the school community for a long time. And then you're like, okay, well, if there's any silver lining, that it's like, okay, we have, you know, more people that are coming in. They're new that we get to make that. So it's
fresh faces that we get to bond with and make relationships with.
Right.
And they have a lot to offer. We have students that come from other districts. We had a student come from Chicago school district this year who's in fifth grade. And she enlightened us on a lot of opportunities that she had in Chicago that we then added to Founders. She said that they had a dance club, you know, because we don't have a lot of clubs for elementary students, unfortunately. She said, well, you know, you guys don't really have a lot in Chicago. We had a dance club. And so our dean of restorative services, she started a dance club at the school. So that has really helped out a lot of students. It's kind of helped out with behaviors, too, because they know if they don't act right in school that they can't still participate in the club. So it's just been awesome. They've performed twice. So,
yes. Well, again, like it's been a couple months, and I know that it's, you know, there's always so much that happens on any given day. And I know that you guys had the big testing things that you have been having like in the last 2 months. I trust that we're almost done with that part of the calendar, but just you got to lay it out for us. What have been the big things going on in Mrs. Yackley's class over the last, you know, month or two?
Well, you are correct. Lots of testing. We had the IAR testing, which there's 6 units. Well, actually 5. And then in 2 weeks, we have MAP testing. So testing. And in between, you just kind of give them a break with playing again, right? Because we kind of lose that aspect of just play. So playing a lot of childhood games that they don't play anymore instead of being on technology has been extremely fun. I even raced them the other day and I did pretty well.
This good old-fashioned foot race? Are you sprinter or distance? What are
I'm
we doing?
I'm sprinter.
Okay.
And they're like, Mrs. Yackley. And I know my age. So they're like, Mrs. Yackley, I can't believe you're that fast at 46. Like, I ran track. So that was fun, though.
They pull out specific. They go 46 on you.
Yes. And they pull it out on you.
Oh, see, that's another thing with the internet, too, right? Like, somehow, if they want to Google Mrs. Yackley, they could probably find that information if they want to.
Oh, they could. They even know my first name, so they'll pull that out sometime. Like, no. But I think that's on their schedule, unfortunately, is our first and last name when it...
Oh, I bet it is. That's something that I think about now, right? Like, if I were in your position where... When I was in school, again, like, that was the most scandalous thing that you could find out about your teacher was what their first name
yes,
is. And then you drop that out, and that's terrible. They'll give you a glare.
Ooh, yes.
They'll send you back in the next week. But I think about now, I'm like, oh, my. Yeah. And, like, I think about, like, how much information, like, they could find Facebook photos of me from 2009 if they wanted to. And that's abject terror for me to find a picture of me in youth group at 13.
Like, what even is that?
Yeah. That, why is your profile picture a giraffe? I don't know. It was MySpace.
right. So funny.
Do you have any like end of the school year rituals? Do you have things that you like always try to do at the end of every school year?
I do. I have the students, each student will sit in front of the smart board. So their back is to the smart board, if everybody knows that there, or like a whiteboard. And we all come up and write things about them. Kind of like a yearbook signing, except, you know, this generation, right? Especially if everyone doesn't buy a yearbook. So, and we write nice things about them. I take a picture and I get them printed out. That's one thing. And then Founders has a ritual where the fifth graders walk the halls for the last time on the last day. And the students and
that
staff.
That makes me tear up. Why does that make me tear up now? I'm not even there.
Yes. And all the staff and other students in the building, they sit out in the hallway. And so everybody claps and shakes their hands. And so you have their kindergarten teacher, first grade teacher, everyone hugging them and crying and laughing and smiling. It's very emotional, but it's just one of those things that everyone looks forward to.
Okay, this is it. We've made it all the way to May, the final month of the school year, and our final conversation of the year with Dominique Yackley. And it's time to reflect on the school year that was, but when I talked to her, they still had a few more days left and her students were not ready to say goodbye.
I reminded them the other day how many days are left. They're like, Mrs. Yackley, why would you do that? Why would you remind us? We don't have much time with you now. I was like, I'm sorry.
Again, I think this is a testament to Mrs. Yackley. I'm just going to put it out there.
Aww.
I don't, not every class, they're not shedding those kind of tears. You know what I mean?
Maybe one asked if she can just come home with me to live. And I was like, no, I think you'll be highly missed, but you can come back and visit when you get to middle school. You can absolutely come back and visit and send all the emails. I just love that. I always get emails from when they go to sixth grade. I just went to, so my first year here at Founders, that class is graduating this year from high school. And one of the students invited me to her prom send off. So that was really special.
Wow. Yeah. What was it like?
It was nice. Nice. First of all, you know, everybody's taller than me anyway. My students now are mostly taller than me. So she's just grown into just a beautiful young lady. She already has a job and she's going to go to school for nursing. So I'm just really proud of her. It's just really exciting to watch them grow up.
But like I said, this is our last conversation of the school year.
No, so I'm sad.
I know. So I do want to take and just like let us reflect a little bit on the school year that was. But before we do that, I am just curious if having these conversations every month, do you feel like doing this segment, do you feel like it helped you at all as a teacher, whether like reflecting or just talking things out? Do you feel like it helped at all?
I definitely think it helps in the reflection process. As teachers, we reflect anyway, but just even celebrating not only yourself, but like the students, because the questions that you ask, sometimes I'm like, wait, what was the funniest thing that happened this week? And it makes me laugh all over again and just appreciate their sense of humor and their hard work.
Okay, let's as we start the real reflection of the whole, not just like the last month, but the whole school year. Let's start off big picture. Just what do you think defined the 2024-25 school year for you? When you think about this group of fifth graders, what are the things that stand out to you?
How much they matured as cultural beings. They're such big advocates. This class particularly are just such big advocates of each other and sticking up for each other. And I think that's important, particularly with this generation, really. Some of them don't know how to advocate for each other, but they're very vocal. And I just think that's amazing. I think we just need more of it, even from adults. So what defines this year is my students maturing as cultural beings, which to me trumps any type of academics or anything else, because SEL is so questionable these days. I really want to celebrate them for that.
I put together a list of like rapid fire questions that we can do about, you know, the whole school year and everything like that. And before we get into like, you know, you joked about like the things that made you laugh or the year, stuff like that. I want to start off with you again on your reflecting back on the actual teaching process. I wanted to ask something about this school year you feel like you improved on as a teacher.
I was much more organized, which it appears that I'm organized. Like most people look at me and assume that I'm organized just by the look of the room, but I'm really not. And so this year I'm really proud because I will have lots of paperwork piled up places. So I'm reflective on that, actually. Getting things back to the students and graded and all that and just staying organized that's an accomplishment for me.
Something that you want to either change, tweak, improve on for next year? Are you already thinking about those goals?
I am. So I think we were so focused, I was so focused on math and reading that I did kind of abandon a lot more science activities that I've done in the past with classes. And I get kind of sad when I don't do very similar things with classes because, you know, they all chat and some of them have siblings that I've had. So more science for sure.
I remember at the beginning of the year when we were talking about like goals you had for the year and things that you were excited about, one of the things was about bringing in people into the classroom, bringing in different occupations, showing things out. How did it go? Yes. Now that we sit here in May, how did it go?
It went really well and actually better than I imagined because a lot of it, we went to places to get those experiences. Again, we went to the nursing home. That was really exciting as opposed to getting someone in here that works at a nursing home. I think that was a very valuable experience for them. Many of them had never been in a nursing home or have had family in a nursing home. But I could still set that as a goal for next year to still have more people come in. We did it during Black History Month, but not to make it a special thing. We should just do it every month, have someone come in.
Okay, now a memory from the year that makes you laugh.
Oh, these kids make me laugh. So this is the most farting class that I've ever had in life. I'm going to have to stock up again on my room sprays.
And say this
I don't know what it is.
It's been a recurring theme all year long, and the farting has not. It hasn't gone away. Ugh.
No, but what is it? Because I've never had it. I don't. It's a special group of kids with the farts. I don't know. It's about five kids who fart. I don't know what the problem is.
This is the give and take. You want the class of advocates, you're going to have to stand with the farting, I guess, right?
I guess I am. I've grown a lot, though, because farts usually really, you know, agitate me. But
They've worn you down with the fart. Okay.
Yes. I've learned to use that in lessons, too. Like, how can we describe this one that just happened, you know?
So, welcome to fart culture. You finally got me with it.
Welcome to fart culture. That's just this generation. They think it's hilarious. So I have to go with the generation.
On the flip side, something from this year that frustrated you.
I think in the beginning, all the way to maybe winter break, is the immaturity part, I think. They are very, very social beings. And I think it was different because I believe this class would have been in first grade, maybe during COVID. So their social skills weren't really there. And so it was agitating for me. I had to evolve and grow and extend my patience. and I appreciate it now. So
last question I've got for you for the school year is a memory from this year that makes you hopeful.
I think I have to go back to, they are so loving of people who are different from them. And that makes me extremely, extremely hopeful. There's no hate and there's no grudges. You know, someone can kind of have a debate or argument and 5 minutes later, they're helping each other. Oh, you dropped your pens. Let me pick them up. Oh, you don't know how to do that. Come here. Let me help you. Let me walk you through the math problem. It almost brings me to tears, actually. That is what excites me and makes me hopeful.
I think that's a perfect way to finish this out for the year. Dominique Yackley could not, I mean, thank you so much, honestly, for taking
so much time
out of your schedule to, again, be thoughtful about your work. And again, I think it is something that people don't really understand if they don't do it every single day like you.
Very true.
I think it's really helpful to give people, you know, a peek behind the curtain as to what goes into this and all the care and attention and work that goes into fifth grade every day, five shows a week, every single day. So thank you for all that you do. And thank you for making time for me to give us some insight into it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate you for giving myself and my students really a voice. So I appreciate you.
That was Dominique Yackley, fifth grade teacher at Founders Elementary in DeKalb, Illinois. And she was our classroom correspondent for the 2024-25 school year. Again, thank you so much to her for taking the time to reflect on her work in the classroom with us. And we will have a new classroom correspondent for the next school year starting in August. If you want to listen to these segments in real time, month to month, you can only hear it on our Teachers Lounge radio show. It airs on WNIJ on the last Friday of every month at noon and the following Saturday morning at 6 a.m. That is the exclusive home of our students and classroom correspondent segments all year long until it all gets collected here in June. So if you want to hear the next season of Classroom Correspondent soon, keep up with the radio show in the fall. Otherwise, let's wait till next year. And one more time, thank you so much to you for listening to Teacher's Lounge, and feel free to nominate a teacher in your life to be on the show. Send them our way to teacherslounge@niu.edu. Subscribe, leave us a rating, and share it wherever you hear the podcast so we can get even more perspectives on the show. A big shout out to the Northern Illinois band Kind Ofs for the music you hear each and every episode of the show. And I have been your host, Peter Medlin, and we will be back soon with our student correspondent segments. We'll see you soon.